can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Talk about changing the world. Our guest today, Dr. Laura Berman, is changing the world with something that you think would be something that we all know about. But unfortunately, it's not. And unfortunately, so many experts, at least in my opinion, quote unquote experts, don't really talk about it in ways that are adult, or a lot of them talk about it so scientifically. But Dr. Laura Berman has a way of talking about it that is human, it's shooting from the hip, and also medical as well. And there's no excuses, and it's not being shy. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Let me just tell you about our guest. She is a world-renowned sex and relationship educator and therapist. She's a popular TV, radio, and internet host, a New York Times best-selling author, and assistant clinical professor of OBGYN and psychiatry at the Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University in Chicago. Considered a thought leader in her field, Dr. Berman has helped countless couples build stronger relationships, improve their sex lives, and achieve a heightened level of intimacy through her TV and radio shows, books, columns, and website, along with her private practice based in Chicago. She is the award-winning host of, I love this title, In the Bedroom with Dr. Laura Berman on OWN, and OWN being O-W-N, the Oprah Winfrey Network, and a sex and relationship expert for Everyday Health, the largest provider of online health information, attracting, get this, 28 million unique visitors monthly. That's a lot of people turning to Everyday Health. Everyday Health publishes her website, Love and Sex with Dr. Laura Berman, and you can find that at drlauraberman.com, and you're going to learn a lot about our guest when we come back. Right here on Life Changes with Filippo.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IONWAYS ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IONWAYS Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IONWAYS Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and I can't believe I'm going to say what I'm about to say. Next week on this show, we're going to be talking about menopause. Yeah, menopause. I never thought I would say that. I never thought I would talk about it, much less want to talk about it. And frankly, I didn't want to talk about it. Honestly, I didn't. But there's a movie coming out called Hot Flash Havoc. And you can go to lifechangeswithfilippo.com and see the trailer and learn more about it. I have to say that I wasn't interested in seeing the movie, but we were asked if we would do this interview, if we'd consider it, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why I'm bringing this up, because my first answer was no, and then I thought I was being closed-minded, and so I said yes. And then I watched this film, and I watched these women in the film say that they knew nothing about menopause, and they didn't know it was coming on, and that their parents or their mothers never talked about it, or their aunts, or nobody around them, the women, et cetera. And I'm thinking, how could grown women not think about this or talk about this? Why are we not having this conversation? These are adults. And that made me think of sex. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Here we are, adults, and sex is like, according to Maslow and his hierarchy of needs, it's like right in there with breathing, food, and water for our physiological needs is sex. And we don't talk about that either. And parents or teachers or whomever, or clergy, I don't know, whoever, if they do talk about it, it's, oh, we're going to talk about the birds and the bees, or we're going to talk about this or that, or it's so scientific that it's just, you know, like it's sterile, or it doesn't connect to us as, you know, growing up or even as adolescents or as adults. And I thought to myself, have I actually ever myself had a conversation with somebody intelligently about sex, like sexual intercourse, relationship, relating during sex, the spirituality of it? I'm getting all flustered because I don't know how to have a conversation about this. So when, you know, here we were saying we're going to have in the next month a conversation about menopause. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We've been wanting to talk about sex for a while, but we haven't found anybody that we really thought could really do it justice the way we want to talk about it. And then our producer, Mark Legere, says, I know exactly who, Dr. Laura Berman. You got to check her stuff out. Of course, we'd known about her, but never, you know, really dug into it. And so I started digging into it, and I love it. And she was shooting from the hip, and she's like, you got to do this. And it was like natural, and it was just, it made sense. And it's like, hey, I could talk to this woman about sex.
I think that's the big thing with Dr. Laura Berman, is that she approaches it from that real perspective, that comfortable perspective. I think the underlying essence of the discussion is fear. I think the reason people don't talk about it is because of fear. Just the energy changes when you bring it up, because it's been so misused, misrepresented, shrouded with guilt or shame or pain or, you know, jokes or whatever it is, that we've been almost separated from the very essence of the fact that it is a part of every one of us and the survival of the human species.
The reason why we're here.
Exactly.
Okay, so no more guilt or pain or shame. Let's hear it directly from our doctor in residence here. She is a world-renowned sex and relationship educator and therapist and a popular TV, radio, and internet host, a New York Times bestselling author, and the assistant clinical professor of OBGYN and psychiatry at the Feinberg School of Medicine. And she is here with us on Life Changes with Filippo. Welcome, Dr. Laura Berman.
Thank you. So good to be with you both.
Yes, it's great to have you in this conversation. So what do you think? We shouldn't be shy, right?
Absolutely not. And I think you're absolutely right. It is such a basic part, not only of our basic needs, but of general health and wellness. And so often, I think in large part because of the way society treats it, but also because of the way most of us have been raised, it's not something that we're comfortable talking about, but it's one of the most fundamental longings we have.
What longings? You say longings, I'm thinking urges, and I'm thinking biological, and I'm thinking love, and it's so much.
It's emotional, it's mental, you know, it's spiritual, it's physical, and when it's good, it's all of those things. But it's a journey, and it's something, you know, you're talking about menopause coming up, you know, it's something that evolves and unfolds and changes throughout our life, not only in relation to those who we're connecting with, you know, in a sexual way, but also just our sexual relationship with ourself, you know?
Yeah. You know, and I have to say, I don't know if I blame parents or adults, you know, not knowing how to talk to children. So, you know, children is one thing, I suppose, although it sure would be nice to have an upbringing where, you know, it's not, actually, I should let you talk about that. You know, how do we talk to children?
Don't get me started. I'm so passionate about that.
Please.
I'm so passionate about it. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, I'm a clinician first and foremost, and I work with people mostly in adulthood who are dealing with the fractures, the misinformation, the inhibition, the shame, the disconnects that really started earlier in life. We come into the world, you know, sexual beings, and it's conditioned out of us because, and Mark was alluding to this earlier, because of fear. And it's understandable fear because, you know, parents mistakenly believe that information means permission, and that if they just teach, and I think our society did, I mean, certainly I don't want to get too far into politics, but the past 8 years prior to, Obama, at least, that it was abstinence only education was the edict. And the belief was that if we just talk to kids about just say no, teach them all the dangers of sex. And both of those things I believe in, you know, the safest sex is no sex. And before, you know, you're a fully evolved human adult and understand what the consequences are, you know, yes, abstinence is the safest thing. And there are STDs and pregnancies and risks out there. But we forgot to teach them about the gift that sex is, not only the first time, but every time. And that's what I see in the adults that I work with and the couples that I work with, that somewhere along the way, you know, we repress our children's connection with their bodies and their understanding of how their bodies work and their own sense of empowerment over their own bodies in this way. And we fear that if we give them information, we're telling them to go out and do it, which just simply isn't true. And then once they get married or once they're in a socially condoned circumstance where it's okay to have sex, you're supposed to just be able to flip the switch, you know, and turn it all on. And it doesn't necessarily work that way. And we know that abstinence-only education does not work. And fear-based tactics alone do not work. And so it's sort of a fallacy that our society has been operating under that does, I think, more harm than good.
You know, and plus, it's like at that moment when the hormones are going and the urges are going and all that stuff, it's kind of like saying to a child, at some point you might feel like sneezing, but don't sneeze. Don't sneeze. It's like...
We teach them, we give them driver's ed, you know, we let them get behind deadly machines, you know, and drive around when they're 16. And I'm not saying that we should all let our kids, you know, encourage our kids to be sexual. I think every family has to create their own sexual value system and really use that as the context. I don't have any commitment to any one value system around it, except that the conversation should always include the amazing beauty of sex and the naturalness of it and the gloriousness of it under the right circumstances. And you as the parents help set those circumstances up. Not literally, but you know, the
Really? Well, you know, actually, because you just opened up my eyes to another aspect of it. Even the kids that go ahead and do it and have sex and whatever, they're having sex, but they know in the back of their mind that they're either not supposed to or this is wrong or whatever. And that even leads to other things. So it's not a matter of having it or not having it. It's what's behind it all.
And they're less likely. What they found, for instance, with abstinence-only education is that it does delay slightly, maybe by a year, sometimes two, the age at which the child has sex for the first time. But the likelihood that they're going to be prepared, that they're going to have condoms with them, that they're going to have birth control, that they're going to have the conversations about STDs, all of that is significantly less likely. So they will have, they'll delay sex by a year or two, but they'll be more likely to get an STD or get pregnant or have, you know, and 80% of first sexual experiences are, while not necessarily forced, are not exactly wanted. It just sort of, things got carried away in the moment. And, you know, the kid doesn't really know what's happening. They just know it feels good. And the next thing you know, they've gone further than they intended.
You know, I just realized something else. I'm not ready for this conversation. My blood's starting to boil here. And I'm like, oh, it's just all wrong. How come? Where were you when I was growing up?
Well, it's never too late.
It's never too late. Well, I'm glad you're here now. And please stay with us, because when we come back, I have so many more questions for you. I think this show is going to be about me and for me. Thank you for being here for me.
Oh, I'm happy to be here for you anytime.
All right. We'll be back with Dr. Laura Berman here on Life Changes with Filippo, and we're going to talk more about sex right after this.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, talk about life changes. I believe my life is about to change now that I've met Dr. Laura Berman. And actually, ever since Mark first mentioned her, I've been on her website hanging out, learning things I never thought I was supposed to learn. And you can hang out there too. You could go to drlauraberman.com. It's just D-R as in Dr. Laura, L-A-U-R-A, Berman, B-E-R-M-A-N.com. She talks about everything. And from articles to like how to increase your sexual stamina, causes of low sexual desire in women, inside the male orgasm, inside the female orgasm. It's all there. Dr. Laura Berman, how did you get so smart on this?
Well, what could be more fun than studying sex, right? You know, I don't know. It's really been, it's not something that I, you know, I didn't grow up knowing I was going to be a sexpert when I grew up. But, you know, it was something that I was always really, you know, and I, God bless my parents. They were very, it was just a natural part of life. It was a natural discussion. It was not anything to be ashamed of. It was a playful topic of discussion. It was a deep topic of discussion. It was something that I came of age comfortable giving voice to. And so, when I decided to become a therapist, it just naturally started evolving that couples and individuals I would work with would bring those pieces to the table when I was doing their intakes or, you know, even when I was in graduate school, and nobody was talking about it. I would go to my supervisors and they would say, you know, when you're doing your graduate training, you have supervisors that kind of oversee your cases and they're supposed to advise you. And I'd say, hey, this couple came in and she's not interested in sex anymore, or he can't, you know, last as long as he'd like to, or whatever. What should I do? Where should I go? And they would have, they'd look at me like I was crazy. No one was touching this at all in their work. And so I just, you know, saw a need that to me seemed so natural and fundamental that I took it on. And that's been the core, you know, that's been a big part of my career. I'm first and foremost a sort of general therapist. My passion is for couples therapy, but sex therapy is a huge part of what I do and a huge part of the discussion that I have.
Well, first of all, I have to say I love the fact that you're a woman. I mean, I'm sure you love that too, and
I can't imagine any other way.
But I mean, as far as this conversation is concerned and the work that you're doing, that is coming from the female side, which is like so much more in touch with, you know, so much more than necessarily a man is technically when it comes to technically and emotionally when it comes to sex, at least as I see it. Okay. So, and so with that, I'm like, I can't believe how comfortable I am having this conversation with you. It's like, it's not creepy.
No, it's not creepy at all. And a lot of what I try to, what I see myself as, especially, you know, if we're talking about heterosexual relationships and men and women, is I really see myself as a translator, because so often what goes awry in a couple's sexual relationship and in their general relationship, and the two are obviously very intimately intertwined, is just a misunderstanding of how to speak each other's language of love. Like, for instance, you know, and you're talking about sort of a male perspective. I honestly think that men are much deeper and more emotionally attuned than we give them credit for. And it just manifests a different way. So, like, for instance, the primary vehicle I have found by which a man achieves a sense of deep emotional connection is through the physical act of sex. And the irony in a heterosexual relationship, especially a long-term one, is that he achieves that emotional connection and closeness that women get through kissing, cuddling, talking, connecting. The man gets through sex. And so the irony is that women are in large part inspired to be sexual as a result of that deep emotional closeness they feel. So when they're not really inspired to be sexual for any number of reasons that could have nothing to do with the relationship, he doesn't have that means to feel emotionally close to her. So he's not as emotionally attuned to her. She doesn't feel as close to him, and then is that much less inspired to be sexual. And then if she says something to him like, you know, you never send me those sweet emails anymore, you never do romantic gestures. And if he's at all tuned in, he may say, well, you know, we haven't had sex in X number of weeks or months. And she says, ah, you pig, you're only going to be nice to me if I have sex with you. You know, not understanding that that is a really deep, emotional, meaningful, it's the same to him as kissing and cuddling and talking is to her.
You know, I'm liking this too, because I remember, I'm correlating it with having seen a few of your shows. I love the title, by the way, In the Bedroom with Dr. Laura Berman. Having seen a few of your shows, in one of your shows, I thought it was hysterical, and it seemed so random. You had this couple walking up the stairs and videotaping each other while they were talking, and you were like watching them or something. And it was like what you were able to say to them. It's like, well, you know, if you had said this, or had you thought about saying this, or why don't you say this at this point? And then they actually did it. And then, like, instantly there's a change.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't, you know, it's like, where do we learn this other than, you know, talking to you?
Right. Well, I think there's a large, you know, I do try to take couples out of their comfort zone and put them in kind of customized situations that are going to really trigger their stuff, if I'm there to support them, obviously. But I think part of it is really getting conscious. I mean, this is so much about what you do, right? So it's really, you know, if you look at love and fear on opposite ends of the continuum, right? The part that really stands in the way of the intimacy and the connection in and out of the bedroom is when you let fear flavor the lens or color the lens that you're looking at your lover through. You know, we can choose. We have these lenses that we view our partner through. And depending on how attached to fear we are, our own worthiness, our sense of being worthy of love, our sense of attractiveness, our sense of desirability, we have all these stories, and if we are stuck in that place, we'll view our partner's actions through that lens. And one of the simplest things that I have couples do that can turn everything around is just to start looking for things in their partner's behavior and just in their partner's human beings that they can appreciate. I'll say, just do an experiment for 1 week. Give each other 5 genuine expressions of appreciation a day. And once you start looking for those things to appreciate, even if it's a silly thing, like he always takes out the garbage, but you just say, you know what? Thank you for taking out the garbage. It's freezing cold right now. I'm so grateful I don't have to do it. It really means a lot to me that you do that every night. Just start putting your attention on what your partner's doing right. The color of your lens starts to change and your heart starts to open. And, you know, have you ever interviewed Michael Singer? I love him. He wrote The Untethered Soul.
No, I haven't.
I like recommend that to every human being on the planet. You definitely have to interview him. He doesn't talk about sex per se, but he talks about, you know, the basic principle is that who we really are, you know, and different thought leaders say this in different ways, but who we really are is not, you know, our thoughts, but the one that's observing the thoughts, right? And he talks about this concept of samsaras, this kind of heart scar that gets triggered. And he's talking in general, but I kind of translate it to the relationship. And you know, I've even done this experiment in my own relationship, where I started really paying attention. If you start to really just tune into your heart in any relationship, but especially in a love relationship, which is the most deeply kind of triggering relationship, right? Where we're the most vulnerable. And you tune into how often over the course of the day you're closing and clenching your heart. You know, you'll start to know, just put your attention there. And you'll start to notice all these ways in which you're not even conscious that you're getting triggered. And the second your heart starts to close to your partner, you close down emotionally, you close down physically, you close down sexually. And, you know, even if you're in the middle of an argument with your partner and you just go inside yourself and relax, and physically relax your shoulders, relax your chest, and imagine your heart just opening up like a flower. There is amazing energy that transpires then. And I tried this when I first read the book, and this was a while back. I just said, you know, and I have a very wonderful relationship with my husband of 10 years. But I said, I'm just going to pay attention for a few days. And I could not believe how much I was clenching. Just at times I didn't even realize I was getting triggered. And I started just relaxing into it. And it was the connection that I felt with him. He wasn't even aware of what the heck I was doing, but the connection for me to him was so much more loving and open and connected that you know, it changed my lens, and because my lens was changing, he felt that from me. He didn't exactly know what was going on, but he's like, wow, she's being really loving and nice. And it kind of changed him as well.
Well, you know what? I just did that exercise while you were telling me, and now I just opened up like a flower, and I think I'm in love with you too now. It feels good.
It's fun to do. And if you're in the middle of a fight, it's really amazing what can happen.
I love it. And if you're loving it as much as I am, you may want to just go right now to drlauraberman.com. And that's Dr. Laura Berman, all one word, Berman.com. And there you'll find all kinds of things, actually, the blog and all of that, and so much more information that you never knew existed. You could also go to Amazon or a bookstore and check out these titles. Loving Sex, The Book of Joy and Passion. Talking to Your Kids About Sex, Turning the Talk into a Conversation for Life. She's written all of these. It's not him, it's you. How to take charge of your life and create the love and intimacy you deserve. Real Sex for Women. The list goes on and on. No wonder she's a New York Times best-selling author a couple times over. We'll get to talk to her more about this when we come back. Laura, I'm wondering if when we come back, we can kind of turn the conversation the other way. I've recently had a situation where an adult was bemoaning the fact that her husband passed and that she wasn't sexual with him and didn't know how to have been, and it was too late and all that. And I'm wondering if just like the parents didn't know how to talk to the kids, if maybe there's a way we can also help a generation that's older than us, or who knows, maybe we can teach the kids how to talk to the parents about it. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Life Changes with Filippo with Dr. Laura Berman.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo, and our guest today is Dr. Laura Berman, a renowned sex and relationship educator, a therapist, a popular TV, radio, and internet host, a New York Times bestselling author, and many, many more other things. Her very popular blog, you can find it on sex and relationship in Everyday Health. It's the largest provider of online health information, attracting 28 million unique visitors monthly. You could be one of those people if you are so inclined to go to drlauraberman.com. That's drlauraberman.com. Laura, you know, the conversation with children is so important. And as before we went to a break here, I was saying how so many adults and, of course, even the older generations don't get or haven't had the opportunity to talk about sex. And I'm realizing in a weird sort of way, even though they might not be doing it or needing it or something, I don't know, they need to release something or say something or talk, you know what I'm, I don't know what I'm saying because I'm new to this.
Well, you know what? I sex is such a crucial part. I mean, I maybe am a little bit biased, but I've been doing this for over 20 years, and it is such a huge, huge part of general health and wellness, emotional health and wellness, and obviously relationship health and wellness. And you can absolutely have a vibrant, fulfilling sexual connection until the very, very end of your life, especially today with, as you know, thanks to modern medical technology, we are living healthier, longer, more active and vibrant lives. You know, as we're aging, the baby boomers are, you know, healthier than any generation before and are, you know, basically in condition. And also thanks to, you know, Viagra and the drugs like it, you know, physically capable of all sorts of sexual intimacy. So it doesn't ever have to stop. And in fact, it's been shown to help with immunity and depression and, you know, heart disease, all sorts of health benefits for sex. So it never has to stop. But you're absolutely right. It's not necessarily a conversation that individuals of any age, and certainly of the baby boomers generation, kind of grew up having a vocabulary for or a roadmap to follow in terms of how to have what can feel like very intimidating conversations.
Yeah. And I'm just in my mind as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, how can I talk about this? I hope I'm not beating it, you know, this to the ground here. I really feel this is so important that I myself think, I talk to people all the time and they'd say that I've changed their lives and that's a wonderful thing. But I'm thinking I've never had this conversation in a way that I think is meaningful. And I'm really stumbling over my words here because this is that important.
Yeah, it is. And it's not, you know, it's just like any other conversation. It's about speaking from the heart, with authenticity and with respect and with love. You know, there are tips, obviously. You know, a simple one is that if there are changes you want to make in your sex life, you know, it's a sensitive topic to talk to your partner about. It's something that most of us feel self-conscious and kind of insecure about. So you always want to frame it in the positive. You know, I love our connection. I've been thinking, I was listening, you know, to Filippo today and he was talking about this and I was thinking, you know, I love it when you do X to me. And I was thinking how great it would be if we did that more, or I was thinking it would be so much fun to try Y. And, you know, have you ever thought about exploring Z? You know, so you kind of frame it in the positive and you try to have those conversations outside the bedroom, not in the moment. You don't spring anything, you know, brand new on a partner necessarily without kind of discussing it a little bit outside the bedroom first. And I even have couples do an exercise where I have them, you know, do what I call the fantasy box, where they make an agreement from the beginning We're not going to, we may not agree that we're going to share our fantasies, but we aren't going to necessarily agree to act on all the fantasies that each of us wants to act out. But we can promise that we're not going to judge each other because these are just fantasies, and we're only going to share the ones that we actually want to act out together. So it could be role plays, it could be positions, it could be places. And you write them all down, each of you, and then you share and you compare notes. And you won't necessarily, you know, so maybe one of you has always wanted to have sex in a public place and the other one is like, no way, that would never happen. But, you know, I might be willing to have sex on the back porch at night where no one can really see me, but if the neighbors were looking out their kitchen window, they might, you know? So you can find these kind of happy mediums and you come up with a list that you can both agree on, even if it's just like three or four things to start, and you put them in a little box, and once a month, you know, you pull one out and you try it out. So there are ways to have these conversations, but what I have found is that if you're dying to have the conversation, you can be pretty sure that your partner is too. You know, this is an 800-pound gorilla kind of in the room with you that nobody's talking about. And if you do it in a loving, respectful way, and acknowledge the fact that it's uncomfortable, you don't have to pretend to be an expert. You know, you just have to be gentle about it, I think.
You know, you're talking about tips, and of course at your website, drlauraberman.com, you have tips like 9 ways to ignite romance. It makes so much sense. Boost your mood for good sex. De-stress your sex life. Playfulness can lead to better sex, and you go through all of that stuff and give pointers and tips. And so, first of all, I direct people to that, and secondly, it sounds kind of actually fun.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. To be fun.
Guess so. Did I just miss the point?
No, you're getting the point. You're getting the point. You know, like everyone else, we forget that it's fun because it's, you know, it's so cringy. It's so embarrassing. It's so scary for so many of us. But it doesn't have to be. And I think if there's, you know, any message I want to get out there is that there's nothing to be ashamed of. And the shame is just a story in our head. It's not real.
Wow. Yeah. And it sure does seem real. And actually, you talked about the 100-pound or 1,000-pound, whatever, gorilla in the room, that if you want to talk about it, then your partner probably wants to talk about it. And so you're really good with this in the sense that you have people write to you on your website and ask you questions. It's actually Ask Dr. Berman. And you actually give people ask you questions, you state the question, and then you give an answer. And so there are questions there that probably so many other people are thinking of. And the answer is there too.
I find that's always the case. Even when I go and, you know, there's anytime I go and speak to a group, it's all, you know, you remember that from class when you're in school, someone raises their hand and they're the brave one to ask the question, but everyone else has the same question.
I like that. Mark's raising his hand saying, ooh, I got a question. Pick me. Go ahead. Ask Dr. Berman.
Well, you know, it's so common to have this discussion and talk about the dialogue between the partners, right? And having that discussion and getting honest. But maybe you can speak for a minute to what I think is maybe even a preliminary conversation that has to take place, which is the inner dialogue, the talking to yourself, the being real with yourself and what you really want in order to even have that conversation, you know, openly and honestly with that partner.
I think you're absolutely right. And I find this to be the case with both men and women. But if I had to sort of generalize, and I don't like to, but sometimes I do, I do think that women, you know, sort of historically feel less permission around this. I mean, I can't tell you how many couples I see where he's saying, you know, I would do anything she wanted to do. Like if there was something that would turn her on more or make her want sex more or would make her more aroused, I would do it in a second. But she won't tell me. And she looks at me and she's like, I have no idea. I would tell him if I knew, but I don't even know where to begin. I don't even, and I think this is one of the reasons, you know, I'm sure you have to be living under a rock not to witness the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon, right? You guys familiar with that?
You can't not be, right?
And they're even predicting a baby boom coming from that, because women everywhere were being like spurred to desire. And you know, there are lots of reasons for that probably, but what I think one of the main reasons was is that this was sort of a publicly acknowledged, accepted, kind of demystified way for women to start exercising their fantasy muscle. I mean, I can't tell you how often women say to me, I would fantasize. I wouldn't even know where to begin with a fantasy. And so, you know, so I think you're absolutely right, Mark, that part of it is for each of us in our own worlds and in our own ways, really getting in touch with like, what turns me on? Not only, you know, don't just ask that question when you're 16 and when you're 25, you know, ask it regularly, because as you're evolving and changing, not only is your physical sexual response going to change, but your emotional sexual context shifts a little bit as well. How you feel about yourself as a man or a woman, what you're looking for, what you're wanting to explore, something that you would have never in a million years imagined you would want to do or try in your 20s, you may actually be curious about in your 50s. So it's really important to kind of take inventory. What is it that I'm longing for? What would excite me? What kinds of, let my mind go free roaming, you know, anything's permitted inside the confines of my mind. What would be some fantasies? How is my body working now? Do I even understand how my sexual response works? You know, do I know where, especially for women, you know, do I know where all my important sexual response, you know, hot buttons are and how they work? Because I can tell you that I work with women all the time in their 40s, 30s, 50s, all different ages, who have never even explored themselves or know what an orgasm is or how to have one. So it's never too late, but it's also something that we want to continue to kind of tune in with and then bring that to our relationship.
You know, Laura, we could have talked about a lot of things with you, and I know that you have answers to a lot of different kinds of questions, not just on sex, but of course, relationships and getting deeper into relationships and all kinds of different therapies and all of that. Thank you for letting us focus on this. It's kind of like you mentioned the book, 50 Shades of Grey. I think also allowed for, like you started to allude to, a public conversation. Women were comfortable saying, oh, have you read the book? As if it was like mandatory reading. And then they could talk about it all of a sudden. So here, I feel like we're giving permission to our listeners. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. And I look forward to talking about it even more on so many different levels, because I've actually been sitting here listening to your responses and how I just tune in on so many different levels saying, wow, she's touching upon this. I'd love to go deeper into that. And I'd love to go deeper into this. And it's because there's spirituality, there's the psychology, and there's the culture. There is just that much.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun stuff. Keeps me interested, that's for sure.
Well, we just have a minute exactly, and other than to remind people to go to drlauraberman.com, you've said, I hope people get this and I hope people get that. Is there a 1 minute more thing that you want to hope people get?
Well, I think the main thing is really giving yourself permission to release, you know, the shackles of shame that most of us in this society have been raised with to one degree or another. And, you know, to recognize that that's one of the biggest parts that holds you back from having the love, the intimacy, and certainly the sex life that you want. And there's nothing deeper and more beautiful and magical and vulnerable than sharing that with someone else. So that's my wish for you all.
Wow. Well, what a beautiful wish and what a beautiful message. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing it in your beautiful way.
Oh, thank you. It was great being with you.
Look forward to connecting again. Dr. Laura Berman. Go to drlauraberman.com and check out the books and the blog and the questions and answers and videos and all kinds of things. We'll be back with our producer's wrap right after this here on Life Changes with Libra.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org or telephone 323-592-3181. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
Well, you have been listening to our guest, Dr. Laura Berman, here on Life Changes with Filippo. I am Filippo, and I'm sitting here with our producer, Mark Lejeur, who I imagine has learned something as well.
I did learn something. There's a number of things that she touched on that I thought were eye-opening. But, you know, what came to me while I was listening to this conversation, because, you know, as we talked at the beginning, it's you know, it really is about fear. But it goes beyond that. The interesting thing, if you step back away from the topic for just a second, you know, the comparison that came up for me was the fact that we take sports or music or other things that we learn and we become proficient. We, meaning anyone, but various levels of expertise all the way up to the masters that spend more and more time learning every last nuance of how to use the equipment that they're given, the playing field, how to eat and treat their body and what kind of rest to have and how, you know, every nuance. Think of how much time, energy, technology, research, and everything is put into learning how to use a pair of golf or a set of golf clubs or a tennis racket or to drive a NASCAR and how to drive it in, you know, moist weather versus dry weather versus, I mean, it goes on and on and on, but yet we're born, we all have this body we've been given. We come into this state of maturity and we're put out there with very little knowledge. We're most of us scared to death before it happens because very few people grow up in a sex positive, sex welcome environment. Natural environment. So then it's end up learned. It's probably learned in either fear-based situations because you're sneaking it or trying to understand it, or awkward situations because you don't know what the heck you're doing.
Like
or
you're saying
exactly. Yeah. So when you look at what Dr. Laura Berman has done and how she serves the information up, and like you were saying, she touched on so many elements that are the tangents of this and the connectivity to it, to aspects outside of the act of sex.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. And the funny thing is that, well, I don't know how funny it is, but the other day I actually looked at a skateboard. I've never ridden a skateboard. As a kid, I think I tried once or twice on some friends or something, but fell off so many times I never got back. And I didn't have it around to actually learn. But I was looking at it saying, I wonder if I could, and I wonder who could teach me. because not everybody I know has a skateboard. But everybody I know that's male has the same equipment I have, and everybody that's female has the same equipment as every other female. And you'd think we'd all know how to use that equipment. And if you're male, after you figured that out, you wouldn't think it'd be that hard to figure out the female, because there's only the other kind. It's not like there are 15 different kinds to choose from. You know, it's like, oh God, I can't learn all of these.
That's I'm thinking of a whole new line dancing class.
Line dancing.
But that's how we're willing to go out and join our friends, and we're going to learn something. I've never, dance country, line dance, right? So they go in these big groups and they learn, from our friends about other things. Sure. But yet we don't generally, as a general, this, like Dr. Laura was saying, we don't talk about this, and it's awkward and it's clumsy or we wait for an event, a happening that crosses over the social norm, like 50 Shades of Grey, or various, projects and movies and things over the years that bring it to the water cooler for just long enough that people feel comfortable that everybody's thinking about this out loud as opposed to internally and can maybe ask some questions.
And, that's one of the things that really attracted me to her and her work after you brought her to our attention is that the comfortableness, obviously, that by which she talks about this. She knows what she's talking about, and she talks about it with so much comfort. Now, if there were any hesitation on her part, and if she giggled or if she was shy or whatever, it's like, well, that would make me even more giggly and shy or uncomfortable or what have you. But no, it's matter-of-factly. And sometimes when something presented matter-of-factly, it could be so matter-of-fact that it didn't take emotion into consideration. And it wasn't that. So it had all the elements of, I could learn here, I could grow here.
It really comes down to confidence. And the conversation, she has a conversation that's confident. And that when she's speaking to either large audiences or working with couples or individuals directly, that confidence carries through, and that's what they say in various forms of, you were talking about psychological practice. And I know that, it's big in the coaching world, right? That the level of healing is a direct reflection of the practitioner's level of confidence. And I think that also plays into the bedroom. If one partner is not confident, that feeling, that energy of doubt, of fear is going to cross over. If you can feel someone's energy when you step onto an elevator and say, ooh, I didn't like that guy or girl, or, why won't it happen? Or why wouldn't it happen? Especially, or why aren't we acknowledging it happening in these types of scenarios and putting ourselves out there in a way to get past that?
And maybe people didn't know. But now we do, and we just had this conversation, and it can't be undone. And now millions of people are going to listen to it and share it with millions and millions more, and they'll share it with their friends, and they'll share it in the bedroom, and they'll share it in a box, they'll share it with a fox, and we'll all be sexually better and happier and joyful, and all our lives will have changed, all because we had this conversation with Dr. Laura Berman here on Life Changes with Kumiko. Well, obviously, my life has changed, as you can tell from my now comfortableness. My blood's no longer boiling. And at the end of this show now, as my life has changed, I am Kumiko thanking you all and reminding you that as your life changes, we're there for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ionways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.